Well, Drew.
Sorry.
That's a perfect opener.
Best timing ever.
That's a perfect opener. We're keeping going. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 2 of the Tag Podcast.
Oh, welcome to Tag.
We're here. We're queer. And, that was Tom, not me.
No, it was definitely you. So I've never burped.
You wouldn't know how.
Yeah, I'm British. Foul creature. Okay, so this podcast is about
video games.
I wanted a drum roll.
Oh, sorry. You can't have one.
Everybody pretend like you didn't hear what Alex just said. This podcast is about... Drum roll, please.
I'm not giving you a drum roll. I don't do instruments. I maybe could have found an app to do one, but you didn't ask me in advance, so...
Hold on. Nothing we ever do in this podcast is done in advance. I think that's one of the brilliant things about it.
Maybe.
Nothing is predetermined. Except I win. Is a podcast a game? If it was, I'd win. Sometimes I feel like Robert Downey Jr.'s ego. Just, you know, like...
I think a podcast is a kind of game, but it's one of those arty games. That there's no clear winning. I mean, I guess you can have a higher score.
Per se.
In that your audio track that I have to edit would be much louder than mine, which I'd have to edit.
Per se. So, this podcast is about video games.
Yes.
There is a very specific reason for this, and it is because I have, I think I'm about 3/4 of the way through The Last of Us Remastered Edition on PlayStation 4.
Remastered. So, did you play it unmastered?
No.
Last year, you didn't
play it correctly. And I'm very disappointed now that I didn't.
It's a very good game.
Yep.
And I was going to tease you unmercifully. For buying the game again, because as good as it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth buying it again for pounds or whatever.
This is the thing, like playing it now. Really good. Love the game. It's essentially like playing a movie. But it's not a movie I would like to rewatch again for some time. It's quite traumatic.
That's true. I do plan to play it again.
And it's not the least bit dark as well. Like, you know, it's not the least bit dark.
No.
Just a smidgen of sort of tragic, horrible, unending doom for everybody.
I do like that there are some chapters in that game that just go, fuck you and your feelings, here's something terrible, and it ultimately has no bearing on the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Let's just shove this terrible thing right in your face and rub it around.
So far, there have been 2 bits for me that have really, really gotten to me. And the first one, and obviously this is a spoilerific sort of thing, you know, spoiler alert for anyone who wants to play Last of Us that hasn't. The first bit was when, you know, we've gone through this game. Now, the main character has now lost his daughter. He's lost his sort of wife thing. That was, you know, post-apocalypse wife that's now dead. He's looking for his brother, who you're not even sure whether he's alive at this time. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this young lad and his brother appear in a town and are willing to help you. And you're both going to the same sort of destination. And there's a good sort of probably an hour's worth of gameplay, I'd say, with these two characters, where you really get to connect with them. And Ellie, the girl that you're going with, she you can see all the way through this that she's bonding with the little lad.
Yeah, no, they spend a good portion of that game convincing you, making you realize, no, these guys aren't going to turn on you and stick a gun to your head and take all your money and leave you for dead.
Yeah, they really try.
They don't turn around and do that.
No, they don't. And there's even a bit where like they have to make the choice where, you know, do we leave them or do we sort of save them and go and try and survive? And they do leave you, and then they come back for you at a separate point to save you, and they do save you, which is even more so. You're like, oh my God, you know, these guys are the real deal.
Yeah.
And then they just rip it away from you. Like, really horribly, the young lad turns into a fucking zombie.
Spoiler alert and everything, but yeah. They stick the knife of feelings right in your gut and twist it round.
And then, just to, you know, make it a little bit worse, then they fucking get his brother to kill himself, so they take that knife and then shove it down your anus. Like, that was really hard for me. And then, after all that, you finally find your brother. This is a second point now. Yeah. You find your brother, and the brother's, you know, all welcoming, even though clearly they've had some kind of dispute and fallout, and it's all welcoming. This is like, oh, by the way, I went back to where we used to live, and I've got a picture of your daughter here, and you take it, and then it asks you to press triangle. You don't know what triangle means. But you find out after that it means you've got to give the picture back and go, no, I don't want it. Like, that's heartbreaking. It makes you give it back.
Without realizing, I did the same thing.
It's horrible.
The same thing, and yeah.
But I haven't completed the game yet, so I honestly don't know what's going to happen. And I know this is a spoilerific podcast, but I'd really like to keep it spoiler-free for me. Do they die in the end? Don't tell me. Don't fucking tell me.
Of course I'm not going to fucking tell you.
You might.
Well, it's all very much along the same lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, what...
Until you get to the chapter with the robot monkeys.
Oh, naturally, obviously. Obviously there's a chapter with robot monkeys. It's the only thing Harry Potter was missing, actually, and that's probably why they didn't get any Oscars.
You know, I think they have to be in video games at least some point these days.
Yeah. I like it when you don't actually realise there are robot monkeys until the end, when you find out you're the robot monkey. For anyone who does...
Oh my God, I was wrong. It was me all along.
That was the ending of God of War. Robot monkeys the entire time. Didn't even know that the Greeks had them until you find out, you know, all the Greek people actually were one. The entire game is set about robot monkeys. But oh well, you know, that's the way games go. But I haven't played the original PS3 version of it, so I can't even comment as to how the remastered version of The Last of Us.
I'm sure they're basically identical. I mean, they're not going to change the story one beat.
Yeah.
Because the story is so good.
And now they're doing a film of it as well.
And they're doing a film of it, which might star Maisie Williams. I've read
it does star, but I'm not entirely sure that the source that I read it from was reputable. So, but I'd be interested to see that, but I can't help but feel that I know it's not Ellen Page. But I kind of feel it should be Ellen Page that plays Ellie.
Ellen Page is, one, too old. B.
Ellen Page is never too old.
B. That
sounded wrong.
And B. There's already the controversy over her with the game. Over the game basically making a character that is Ellen Page, but isn't Ellen Page, but isn't voiced by Ellen Page.
The worst thing is, I recognise the actress that plays Ellie. She's in the Avengers, and she's the waitress in the Avengers that's like, Captain America saved my life. If he wasn't there for us, I'd be dead. And it's like, oh, I recognise you. And actually, when you look at it, she does look like a younger version of this actress, but it's just Ellen Page. Like,
there's, I know they said they did change it slightly. They even when the comparison was made so blatantly clear, they deliberately made the character younger.
Oh really?
Apparently so. I can't remember where the source is. You know, this is all information from a year ago that I can't remember. They aged the character down. Although on the note developer page, I did finally finish the game that she actually made.
Beyond Two Souls.
Beyond Two Souls, yeah. Finished that the other day.
Is it as awful as the critics have said it is?
It's not terrible. It's a case of if you enjoyed, what was the Origami Killer one? Heavy Rain. If you enjoyed Heavy Rain, you'll enjoy You'll enjoy Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy Heavy Rain. I never played the whole game. But yeah. I did enjoy Beyond Two Souls. Although I will say that my one complaint is there's one romantic in the end you sort of choose which romantic subplot to go down.
Okay.
But there's a clear major one. Which you can choose not to go down.
Yeah.
But you have to say no, I don't want to go down that route a lot. There's a lot of points where it's like, are you sure you don't want to have Ellen Page kiss this guy now? Are you sure? No, he's a douche. I want her to kiss the other bloke over there.
No video games. No means no.
Exactly. How many times do I have to tell this stupid, standard, ruggedly handsome douchebag to fuck off?
Is the douchebag played by Ryan Reynolds like all douchebags in Hollywood?
He's not played. I don't think he's played by Ryan Reynolds.
But all douchebags are played by Ryan Reynolds. All lovable douchebags are played by Ryan Reynolds. All actual douchebags are played by Brits.
I don't know. I think Owen Wilson could give anyone a run for their money as an actual douchebag.
But no, that's not acting, though, is it? That's why they try to cast him in roles where you're supposed to like the character. You, me, and Dupree.
But they're newlyweds. How's that going to work out?
Marley and me. The Wedding Crashers wasn't bad, though, to be fair. But he did have Christopher Walken in to sort of pick up
the pace. True, but it was just...
Not many people can say that Christopher Walken picks up the pace. I'm just putting that out there. He takes the man like a minute and a half just to say his name.
This is true, but it does once again have Owen Wilson learning a lesson that's blatantly obvious from the very first minute of the film that he's going to learn, and you know, it drags it out over an hour and a half or however long the film is.
But do you know what film I appreciate with Owen Wilson? Cars. Because the message of that film is don't be a douche. And it's Owen Wilson playing. It's like, of course he's going to be a douche. It's Owen Wilson. Just doesn't know how to be anything else. And then at the end, he's still a douche. That's the best thing. He's a worse kind of douche. He's the douche that goes, well, I win by losing. It's like, no, you lose. Yeah, you lost everything.
It's terrible when a douche learns a lesson and then becomes an entitled douche.
Yeah.
Like Harry Potter in the last two Harry Potter books. I swear, rereading those books, going back to them, I realised that in the last two books, I violently dislike the main character. In that Harry goes from a sort of something of a blank slate that anyone can put their personality onto.
So, I'm Harry fucking Potter.
And in book five, he has the moody breakdown, which is fair enough. A lot of teenagers do that. But the other side that he, you know, the butterfly that blooms out of the cocoon of moody grumpiness is a self-important douchebag. And the trouble is, you have the greatest grand old wizard in all the world saying, yes, Harry, you are the one. Yeah. You are the key. You are the decider.
But the worst thing is, you've then got Neville going, I could have been the one. It's like, you know what? Maybe it would have turned out better if you were. You know, all those friends that died in the Great Battle of Hogwarts? Maybe they wouldn't be dead, and maybe Harry fucking would be. Specky little shit. And on that topic, I'd just like to point out, you know, you're on about sort of Harry, you know, like all of this and being a douche and everything. At least he didn't get the girl. I know he got Ginny, but Ginny is like second prize when you've got Hermione, Emma Watson. Yeah. But then J.K. Rowling comes out and says, yeah, I probably should have given him Hermione, actually. No! No! You shouldn't have given him Hermione.
No, exactly. This is the thing I was talking about recently with another friend. I know people.
Well, you're talking to yourself in the mirror again.
I have a whole three numbers in my phone. I was talking to a friend and about the character of Ron, who I really like, because of the main trio, he's the most like a normal human being. He doesn't always make the right decision, which a normal human being doesn't. You know, it's easy when you're sitting back and thinking, oh, what's the right thing to do, to say, ah, yes, obviously one should do this. But when we're in the heat of the moment, you know, human beings do stupid things all the time.
Yeah.
And that's how I related to Ron. And also, I often felt like the best friend to the Harry Potter growing up through school.
Okay, so, right, yeah.
He was always a little hero of mine. And yeah, to have J.K. Rowling come along sort of years after the books have finished and say, yeah, no, they'd have had a terrible marriage. Hermione shouldn't have been with Ron at all. She should have married Harry. And it just sort of solidified an image that had been bubbling in the back of my brain, which if I was an animator, I would make this and put it on YouTube. But it would be a series of scenes through the books. Whenever Ron's either been wrong or someone shouted him down, it would be that scene. But then whoever was proving him wrong or shouting him down or beating him at some little thing just turns around and takes a dump on him. And there's a little montage of this going through the books.
Hold on.
Wait, I'm not finished. Wait till you hear the end. There's Ron going through the books and, you know, getting more and more disgruntled, being trawling along behind Goody Two Shoes Harry Potter and Goody Two Shoes the girl he wants to bone. And finally, we come to the image of Ron on his wedding day. Finally, he's got a smile on his face. Off in the background, there's a billboard saying, Harry Potter! And then in small print, best man at the wedding of Hermione Granger and Ron Weasley. But, you know, he's still smiling because he's got the girl he loves, and she loves him back. He's standing on the hillside. And then the clouds part. And there's J.K. Rowling, his creator, his god, and she reaches a hand down to him to take his down and validate his existence, to say, it's all right, you're not a bad person. In some ways, you're much better than Harry. But instead of saying that, her hand turns and opens, and a copy of the Times with the headline, Harry should have married Hermione, flutters down. And it lands at his feet, and he looks down at the paper, and a tear rolls down one cheek. And then he looks up at the clouds again, and J.K. Rowling's turning around and pulling her trousers down. And a massive turd is just laid across the hillside where he was standing.
Right, you've just made a very valid point. That Ron Weasley is the most human character in Harry Potter. And then what you said is, all the way through, you imagine him shitting, literally, physically defecating on all
of these. I'm talking about the other characters. The other characters are always shitting on Ron.
Basically. Oh, right, okay.
That is my point. I'm still sympathising with him.
So all the way through, but all these people are literally defecating on him.
It's the trials and tribulations of a normal person, of a human person, who's being held up to an unfair standard with hundreds of siblings who are older than him and doing things better than him, and him still trying and still being who he is. And then at the end of it all, he thinks he's won. But it has to end as a tragedy.
Like all great stories, it has to be a tragedy. Oh, Jesus. That is good. But you know what? I would pay to see that animation.
I'm sorry, we deviated quite a bit from video games.
So, video games.
Video games.
You know what? I'd like to see that as a Flash video game, actually. You know what? And you are Ron, avoiding excrement.
Yeah, the
final, final boss battle is J.K. Rowling. Okay. Back to video games. I've done The Last of Us, so I've talked about The Last of Us, and as I said earlier, nothing that we do is predetermined, which is why I didn't tell you that I was going to ask you this. But I'd like to know what you think is the best video game and why.
Ooh, that is a good question, and there's no solid answer.
I think I know what you're going to say, but I don't want to say it until you've said it, and then I'll...
The trouble is, there's so many video games I've played that I really enjoy, and I couldn't put a pin on sort of this is the best video game ever. I can certainly give you some highlights, and The Last of Us would definitely be up there. Mm. Personally, for me, if I had to pick one, I'd probably go for a cop-out and just say The Legend of Zelda series.
See, I knew you were going to go for Zelda.
Because I can't pinpoint one exact game, because they've all got merits. They've all got flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But they are such good games.
See, I never got into Zelda. It's one of those I just couldn't get into. Mm. I haven't really given it its due, to be fair. I haven't tried hard to get into it.
Mm. Next time I see you for an extended period of time, I do need to sit you down.
Yeah.
Here's a controller. Listen to a podcast if you like while you're doing it, but play this goddamn game. I don't know which one I'd make you play. But I think possibly one of the ones I enjoy the most is, and certainly I think my favourite of all the handhelds, is the very first Zelda game I owned, which was Oracle of Seasons, which was one of the ones on the Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a fun, solid little adventure. And it was actually... It was actually part of a pair of games, the other being Oracle of Ages. Mm. But Oracle of Seasons was actually, in terms of the map and some of the dungeons, was a bit of a remake of the very first Legend of Zelda.
Oh, right, okay.
Like some of the landscapes and some of the dungeons and a lot of the dungeon bosses sort of recycled and retooled for this one. And it's just a lot of fun. It has, you know, your full complement of eight dungeons, each with a boss, and then another dungeon at the end, and you know, a big fun full world to explore. It's all sort of it is open world, but you know, you can't you know, go to the areas with water until you've got the flippers to swim.
Same sort of basis as Pokemon handheld game.
Yes, almost exactly. But instead of you using Pokemon as tools to get around the world or get through obstacles, you know, you actually get items, which you can also fight enemies with, which is fun.
Okay. So I do wish Zelda had been one of those things I'd gotten into when I was younger, but while you were doing that, I was getting into Sonic, and so unfortunately, my sort of like all-time favourite game is, again, it's a series, but there are only two games in the series, and it was the Sonic Adventure series. And I know a lot of people are sort of like, well, they're not really outstanding or anything like that, but I love them. Like, they were so good when I was younger. I've probably completed both of those games like 7 or 8 times each, you know, just because they're fun. It's not just that it's Sonic and everything like that. I think it's honestly the only time where I've seen the 3D Sonic actually sort of, you know, compare to your old Mega Drive and your old sort of like old style Sonic. And even nowadays, like with, You know, you've got Sonic Generations, you've got Sonic Colors, you know, you've got a few of the handheld Sonic games. They're shite. They're all shite. It's just utter, utter shite. And I don't know where they're going wrong, but whoever's in charge just needs to go, you know what? There's a towel over there. I'm going to throw it in soon because they're just shite.
I did. I have actually gotten one of the Sonic Lost World, one of the latest sort of 3D Sonic game.
Yeah.
Which I've enjoyed quite a bit. I've not played that much of it, but I have enjoyed it quite a bit. I've especially enjoyed it because it does include as free DLC on the Wii U, A Legend of Zelda.
Oh, right. Okay.
As well as a Yoshi map. Was it a Yoshi map? All right. Some other Nintendo property map, which is fun. It's just a one off. It's just a one off world.
This is what annoys me as well. It used to be that there was Sega, and there was Nintendo, and Mario and Sonic were like not officially, obviously, but arch rivals, like nemesises. Like you got Sega trying to push Sonic as much as they could because Mario was Mario, you know.
You had the old TV advert where an old Sonic TV advert which actually listed all the things that Sonic could do that Mario couldn't do.
Exactly.
Directly in their advert saying we're better than Mario.
And now, you know, okay, Sega have made some bad moves. Right. Their movie tie-ins with a lot of movies sucked balls. Like, I have a personal little collection of all of the Marvel video games, and in that collection is all of the Sega movie tie-ins, and every single one of them are just pure, unadulterated shite. Like, just crap. Like, Thor, the game, you know, it's a button smasher. And it's not even a good button smasher either. It's like, it's almost like Mortal Kombat button smashing. It's, you're in an enclosed environment. You have to fight someone. You move on uncontrollably to the next one. You do some more button smashing. And, you know, by the end of it, you're sort of going, well, that was that then. That's £8 I'll never see again. The Captain America one was probably the closest to an actual video game, and even then it was just so mind-bogglingly boring. Like, you're going around these very similar maps looking for this or looking to free this person, but the problem is they put so much effort into actually trying to give this one a story that they forgot that the game actually needs to be interesting. Like, they're awful. So Sega have made some wrong moves, and Nintendo have made some right moves, but I just feel like Sega have sold out a bit by going, you know what, that character that we own, you know, really was the rival of Mario. Do you want to buy him? And Nintendo, you know, fair play to Nintendo. Nintendo have gone, how much? Oh, this amount. Nah, we'll pay you this amount. And Sega have gone, yeah, all right then.
The Sonic does tend to piggyback a lot these days.
You know, it's not Sonic and Mario at the Olympics. It's Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. It's Mario Party 8 featuring Sonic the Hedgehog. It's like, I know what they're trying to do. And you know what really pisses me off about Sonic as well? I don't know whether you know about the new game coming out called Sonic Boom, which also ties into a TV series they're doing, but they're just trying to make him more douchey. Like, they're giving him a scarf.
I've seen the new designs. Sort of, let's make them all taller.
Yeah.
Let's put more rags around Sonic's shoes.
Oh, and Knuckles is now muscly. Knuckles has never been muscly. I understand why they're doing it, because, you know, his whole power
He's the one who had fists.
Yeah, he was the only one in the games that could punch. But he had spikes on his knuckles. That was cooler than, oh, well, let's make him muscly. No, give him fucking spikes on his knuckles! His name is Knuckles, not Muscles! But they've made some wrong moves for Sonic. What was my point? Oh, Sonic Adventure, though, right? I love those games. They're so good. And Sonic Adventure 2 is my favourite. And even though, like, Shadow the Hedgehog game was fucking awful, I really liked Shadow in Sonic Adventure 2. But if I were to go for modern games, I'd have to do another... Like, you've gone for a cop-out. I'm going to go for a cop-out. Skyrim. Mm. Because I've never played the Elder Scrolls games. But I loved Skyrim.
Yeah.
And it's convinced me, that one game has now convinced me, when Elder Scrolls Online is made available for the PS4, even though I'm going to be poor and have no money, I may have even less money because I'm going to have to be paying a subscription for Elder Scrolls. Unless they make it freemium. I really hope they make it freemium. Like, free to play, yeah. But...
I'd probably give it a go if they did. But,
like, I've probably spent more money on DC Universe Online through the freemium sort of like market than I would have having played it for a couple of months with a subscription. Because I would have played it, got bored of paying to play, and cancelled my subscription, but because it's free to play. I played for a while and then I thought, oh, well, I'll buy this. And then, oh, well, you know, I've got a little bit of money, I'll buy this. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at 50, 60 quid that was spent on this game. And I'm thinking, yeah. I'm enjoying it though, you know.
See, I do get annoyed with monthly subscription games. I'm not opposed to their existing in general. I just feel that generally I shouldn't have to be paying a subscription after this. I think even the most basic copy of the game, and a lot of games do this, but even the most basic copy of the game, when you go and buy the core game, should include, say, 3 months.
Yeah, like a large package of enjoyment for you because you've bought the hard copy of the game.
Exactly.
Even if you download the game, you should still get some form. You know, you're paying full price for this game, and then straight away you're having to pay for a subscription as well. So if I bought the game and didn't buy the subscription, it's quite simple that I wouldn't be able to play it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not spending 30, 40 quid in a game. You're spending 60, 70, you know, possibly even 80, 90, depending on what version of the game you get, because obviously you can get better versions. You can get the gold version or the diamond version or the super special secret Adventure Time fucking, you know, version where...
You're extra not, hats.
Yeah, with extra hats and free bacon. But, you know, I mean, I bought Watch Dogs. I know that's not a free to play, but I bought the limited edition, and this was a download as well. This wasn't even like hard copy. It was a limited edition one, so I got some bonus content. But instead of paying like £45 for the game, I ended up paying £60. Just to get some downloadable content, which, you know, granted, if I'd waited a while, I could have bought the £45 game and then paid £2.50 in a sale for the downloadable content, but I wanted it now.
Yeah.
So, you know, they already make you pay a lot for games. I think it's unfair, especially when you're playing on a console, because console games aren't, you know, it's not the norm to have to play.
Exactly. Well, the whole point of buying a console is to have this special magic dedicated game machine you can plug into your TV and work straight away. It's not like a PC where you have to have the certain specs or this or that. And even when you do, you've got to install it, make sure the resolution's correct and the sound's hooked up and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, it's taken me like fucking 3 days just to install The Hobbit, the Lego Hobbit, on my PC or on my laptop. Just because I wanted something to play when I was bored, you know, and thought, well, Lego games, I like Lego games, I like The Hobbit, and I love the music, so yeah, well, I'll download that. Fucking 3 days it's taken me to adjust it all so that it's right and it plays properly and seamlessly without it actually fucking freezing.
Yeah, exactly. And consoles, you know, I certainly just don't expect to have to, you know, pay the extra money after I've bought the game.
Yeah,
that's why, as much as I like the look of Titanfall, I even if I get an Xbox One, or you know, I could buy the 360 version, you know, I wouldn't, because I don't want to pay for gold. I never have. I don't play multiplayer games because I prefer single player games.
Like, I think it's bad enough that for years now, Microsoft have made you go, well, you know, 40 quid a year and you can play online, otherwise you can't play.
Yeah.
And I understand why Sony have done it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but the one reason I got the PS3 was because it was free to play online. Now I've got my PS4, I'm paying for online subscription, but at least Sony have gone to all of the people who didn't want to do it. We understand why you didn't want to do it, and so we're going to give you a lot of exclusive content when you pay for your PlayStation Plus account. And so on my PS3 now, every month they bring out a new game for you to download. But it's not like it's like a crappy, you know, very old game. It's not like I'm getting like the movie tie-in to James Bond from 1997 or something, you know. Just last month I downloaded Bioshock, the newest Bioshock, Bioshock Infinity, is it, or Infinite?
Bioshock Infinite. Oh, that's the kind of thing that would make me tempted to get it, because I'd like to play Bioshock Infinite. I don't have the game.
Yeah, at the moment, Dead Space 3 is available. Before that, Little Big Planet Karting, Little Big Planet Karts was available, and every month it's a different game.
Yeah,
and
that kind of thing would make me tempted to do it, even if it was just for a month or so.
Yeah, it's consistently a bestseller's game, and you know, you can, even after the month, you can, you know, as long as it's downloaded onto your system, you can still play it. You know, you don't play again, which is great, which I like. That's content that I agree with. Granted, on the PS4, there's a lot less content for you to download, but that's because they've got a lot less content to offer. Yeah. So it's all about the minis and the sort of discounts that they give you and things like that, which, again, I agree with. I think it's good that with that you get some online bargains and you get some free stuff and you get some good content. Whereas with Microsoft, it's never been a case of, well, if you pay, we'll give you some free stuff. It's you pay or you don't play. Mm. It's considering that Microsoft are the ones that were saying, at the start of their introduction at the Xbox One, you have to be online to play any game. So basically, you have to pay the £40 a month. £40 a year. You know, I really do think they were shooting themselves in the foot, and I don't think it'd be long before Sony really takes the upper hand with the PlayStation 4 against the Xbox, because...
Well, they already are. I mean, I believe it's outselling the Xbox in most territories. And the Xbox One hasn't even released in Japan yet. Not that they have a big market there anyway, so they've not had the motivation to get it out straight away. But
yeah, but I mean, it's just I was always a Sony fan. You know, just felt they had better.
Yes.
Better business mind for the gamers.
That's true. Yeah. The only reason that the 360 did so well is that it snuck a year on the PS3.
Yeah.
It got out a year ahead, and it just had time to get the install base and get games going.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, they just, you know, stormed away, and then, well, obviously the Wii outsold everything that generation, but you know. Yeah. People don't count the Wii because it's not a proper game machine.
But I mean, you look at Microsoft now, they sell themselves on Halo. Do you remember when Halo 3 was going to be the last Halo game because it was like this artistic piece that was, you know, it was always meant to be a trilogy and it wasn't going to be anything more because that was what the story was supposed to tell. And then all of a sudden, when
Halo Reach and Halo ODST and Halo Starship Troopers, I don't know.
Yeah, Halo Star Wars featuring Jean-Luc Picard, you know. And then all of a sudden, because the Xbox One isn't selling, oh, hi, guys. By the way, did you know we're doing Halo 5? And it's going to be really different. So don't do Halo 5. Just admit that you're an inferior company. Just admit it. You know, when the PS3 did realize, well, when Sony realized that, okay, we're not going to top the Xbox 360, instead, they just went, oh, let's just be our own console. Let's just get as many exclusive games as we can. We'll, you know, throw so many ideas at the wall. One of them's fantastic, and they got Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog have got Uncharted. They've got The Last of Us. Naughty Dog, you know, that when you think that these are the people that did Crash Bandicoot, you know, now they're such a big player. So why can't Xbox just go, okay, all right, we admit we're not going to outsell the PS3, so we're not going to try and compete. We're just going to, you know, we're going to try and be ourselves, yeah, rather than be like, oh, we've got Halo 5. And by the way, have you heard of this game Titanfall? No. Oh, well, you're going to, because you're going to pop up in front of every fucking YouTube video for the next year and a half. Do you like Facebook? Good, because it's going to be on Facebook as well.
Yeah, it is. See,
What's that? You're trying to watch porn discreetly. How about this advert for Titanfall? That's really fucking loud.
See, that's one of the things I like about I do like about Nintendo, and I put my hands up and freely admit I'm a Nintendo fanboy. I enjoy their franchises. You know, I'm a big Legend of Zelda fan. You know, I buy all the Pokemon games. And not such a huge Mario fan, but you know, I have Mario games. They're still fun. I love the Smash Brothers stuff, so you know, I fully hold my hands up and say I'm probably biased towards them. But I look at the Wii U, and it's nice that, you know, it still has, Wii U has backwards compatibility. You know, you can play all your Wii games on the Wii U. You can even play your old Wii games on the handheld screen if you want, which is a nice feature. And also all their online's free. You
know, hmm.
There's never even a question. You know, it's,
yeah, just,
make an account when you connect online and you use that to play online.
See, I'll admit, like, and it was actually stopping at your house, you know, playing the Nintendo Wii U with everyone that was there.
Yeah.
And you know, we played a lot of, you know, we had a lot of fun with that. And from then on, I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a Wii U. I am going to get a Wii U. But I think that's been my problem. Like, I've never been motivated enough to actually go, right, I'm going to get the Wii U today. Like, there's nothing that's reached out and grabbed me and gone, you need to get the Wii U now so that you can play this.
That's true. Like, now, I'd say by the end of this year, they will finally have a decent enough small catalogue for people to go out and say, okay, yes, I mean, I'll admit, you know, it's fair enough. You know, it wasn't selling enough, so not enough people were making games for the Wii U.
Yeah.
Now a lot of the long development cycle games are coming out. You finally got Bayonetta 2, which a lot of people are really excited for.
Yeah.
Got a lot of their first party games coming out. finally, Smash Brothers, and that they can sell a hell of a lot of consoles. You've had the Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
And,
Mario Kart's been a long time coming.
And you've also got Ubisoft, one of the few companies that's been supporting the Wii U. I mean, I've got the latest two Assassin's Creed games on the Wii U. I've got Rayman Legends.
So that sounds like it'd be a fun game on the Wii U, Rayman Legends.
It is a hell of a lot of fun.
Because you can play it all on there. You can play anything that you can play on the screen on your handheld thing, can't you?
Yes.
That sounds pretty fun, being able to just walk around the house with it.
Obviously, there are some sort of features that
some limitations, like,
yeah, you'll like things like Nintendo Land, the big multiplayer one that we played.
Yeah.
That most of the things you can't just play on the gamepad, because it's about interacting between the TV and the handheld. most other games, especially single player games, yes, they'll have a mode where you can just play it on the handheld and put something on the TV.
Yeah, I mean, this is my problem with getting the Wii U though is. And well, I say it's a problem with the Wii U, it's actually a problem with me. I don't feel like I have enough friends to warrant me getting a Wii U. Like, there aren't many people that if I got a Wii U, I'd just go, oh, should we just have a Wii party? And you know, there'd be a few amount of friends that would go, a Wii party? I am not going to that. I don't know what it is. It sounds disgusting. And then there'd be a few select friends that would go, okay. And then three of us would sit around the Wii U. One of us would be on the, you know, the handheld thing, and it'd probably happen once every 6 months. And then I probably wouldn't play it a hell of a lot. Like, I keep thinking to myself, I'm going to go to, like, Cash Generator or one of those really crappy shops and just get myself a pre-owned Wii. Because I know it's not a Wii U, so it hasn't got all the newest games, but there are a lot of games on the Wii that I did enjoy playing. And I really loved sort of, like, playing House of the Dead and things like that on it, because you know, because there was the whole motion control with the controllers anyway, it's not like you've got to go out and buy a separate accessory like you would with PlayStation or something.
Yeah.
So I do want to get a Wii, and I know I can get one for like 30 quid, but then buying games for it as well, and I want to buy a few games and things like that. It's just, I've got no money as it is.
It is tough. And I do have another couple of friends who are now planning when they have the money to get a Wii U because the title, as I say, the library has opened up. There are a fair few games to play on it now.
It's like I do want to get a Wii U again because it's backwards compatible. I can get all the Wii games that I wanted to play on the Wii U, but just, you know, I've got to get the money for it, and because I've got no money. And my Christmas money's all pretty much sorted now anyway. I already know what I've got to do for Christmas because I've got a fucking holiday to pay for. So it's a case of, like, I've got no money. Like, it's going to be, like, a year and a half at least before I can consider, right, now's the time to get the Wii U. And then I'll probably have less friends. So I alienate a lot of people.
Well, no, there's plenty of single-player experiences on there. I wouldn't worry too much.
And then, I mean, who am I going to play with? Am I going to play with Sophie? Because Sophie doesn't play video games, and when she does, it's button smashing. Me and her play Mortal Kombat, and the rage that I get when I play Mortal Kombat with her, when I'm trying to teleport as Raiden, and she's just there smashing square, or if I'm on my 360, smashing X, and she's destroying me, and she has no idea what she's doing.
Oh, look,
I'll be there at the start of the game, pause, moves list, super moves list. How do I do a fatality at the end? Right, I know. Are you ready? Bam! Raiden lost. What? Oh, sorry, what did I press? Did you pull the two back triggers? Yeah, that's how I lost then.
I remember I've had similar experiences with Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
I remember one time in particular. Had a little cousin come round and said, "Oh, do you want to play this fun game, Smash Brothers?" And I think we were doing a best of five, and he instantly beat me the first two. And suddenly, my brain had to switch around and go, "No, you have to beat this small child."
Yeah.
Stop. Think. How do you play as this character? I know Smash Brothers is generally built around being able to just mash the buttons, but you have to use the skills you have learned.
I actually have a video of my sister and my girlfriend Sophie playing Mortal Kombat against each other that I'll upload onto YouTube, and I will link somewhere for this podcast so that people can see how annoyed I get when they play, because you'll understand why, as a gamer, if you're listening to this, why I'm so annoyed, because both of them, they're throwing the controller around in the air. They've got no respect for it. And they are just smashing the fuck out of square and X. And then all of a sudden, one of them pulls off a fucking fireball or something. They're like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But saying that, have you ever played FIFA against like a 7-year-old? Like, my cousin Joel is like, he's proper into his football. He loves FIFA. And a few times I've been round his house, seen my aunts, seen my cousins, and he's there and he goes, "Oh, do you want to play FIFA?" I'm like, "Yeah, all right." And, you know, he's getting a little bit older now. He's sort of like hitting double digits, but I am there and I'm button smashing in FIFA. But I'm but a smashing square, which I know is slide tackle. But because he's trying to do all these tricks and everything, and I'm just slide tackling everywhere, yeah, I'm getting two or three players sent off. But I'm then scoring a goal because all of his players are injured. Like, it's actually nice knowing that rage to see it from such a young age, you know, like being on the other side of it.
Going, I know exactly what you mean.
It's just, I do love that feeling when you know what you're doing. Being on the other side of it, when you know the person doesn't know what they're doing. You know, I did consider divorce. Did you hear my cat then?
I did hear a mew.
Yeah, do you know what she just did, right? We've got two litter trays in the house. She's gone to one side of the room and thought, yeah. Yeah, because I should establish, I should give you some exposition. I've just changed the litter trays. Just before we started this, I put down some fresh litter, all clean. She looked at one and went, yeah, that looks like some good shit in space. Went for a nice steaming shit, right? Then looked at the other one and gone, well, I can't piss in this. It's got shit everywhere. Gone to the other one and just pissed everywhere. The fucking room stinks.
Oh, lit
shit.
Do you not have a little shovel to just flick over the piss and shit?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work as well as one would hope.
Oh dear.
Once it's in the air, you know, it's in the air. And she's just sort of looking quite content with herself. You're like, yep, I did that. Look at me. Aren't I brilliant? I should have called you Harry fucking Potter.
I am the decider. I am the key.
I am the lizard queen.
Yes, my queen. Oh, dear.
A little sod.
My mum. Did I tell you, my mother's little Jack Russell has had 5 bundles of joy.
I saw on Facebook.
I did too.
Yeah, little cute bastards. I remember that dog. I liked that dog.
She's a character, if nothing else.
Yeah, she was loud. Well, no, not loud, because Jack Russells can't really be loud. She was as loud as a Jack Russell. She was very yippy.
Well, she's not. Funnily enough, she's not as bad as most Jack Russells.
Well, I used to live next door to a Jack Russell. Not just a Jack Russell. I mean, there was someone that owned the Jack Russell as well.
The good thing is that she grew up with no other dogs around but an old, quiet Labrador.
Yeah.
She didn't have any other Jack Russells to learn bad habits from.
Yeah.
But
these ones will.
Well, I don't think we're keeping any of them, luckily.
I don't think they'll be
shoved off or sold.
Have you still got your 3-legged cat there?
We do.
Let me know when that thing, you know, goes, because I'm actually going to feel a little bit choked up, because it was just adorable.
He is a lovely catty. Mm. But video games.
Video. Yeah.
There's a nice window into our private lives.
For you. Yeah, just you know, just a little smidge, you know. I work as a professional, you know, bikini model, by the way. And just so you all know, you will be able to see me in Maxim and FHM and Generic Lads Mag. So, just another thing.
Cats and kitties are just metaphors for his crotch.
Generally, yeah. My crotch did a huge shit in a litter tray about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, when's there going to be a simulator for that?
You've just got Ron Weasley in your head again.
Ron Weasley.
Dumbledore.
Video games.
Yes.
All
right. Let me think. What was the first video game that you can remember buying yourself?
That I bought myself.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a hard one. Well, it would have been PS1. No. Oh, that's a good question. Okay, I had a Game Boy Color, but I remember all of my games from a Game Boy Color were provided by my uncle, who had a Game Boy Color as well. And so he would just let me have his games, essentially, once he'd done. He was quite young then, so it was a case of he'd complete his games fairly quickly and be like, there you go, you can play that. So I had Pac-Man and Clax, and then I had a Zelda game that I never got around to playing. I had the Pokemon games, but I always had them bought for me. Before that, I had a Mega Drive, but I don't remember buying myself anything, so it must have been PS1 or N64. I think the first game I bought myself was Spyro Year of the Dragon, which is Spyro 3. I think that was what it was. I couldn't, you know, that's what I remember it being anyway.
Yeah.
I do remember getting a couple of, you know, PS1 games, here and there and spending what now you would consider to be extortionate money on a PS1 game. Mm. And then I got a Pikachu in
N64.
I got a Pikachu in N64, and I bought a few games for that, but I never really played it other than for Pokemon Stadium and Pokemon Snap, because when I got it, the N64 was pretty much obsolete by that point. So yeah, Year of the Dragon, Spyro is the one that I remember buying first. What about yourself?
I think, if I'm not much mistaken, again, for a long time, the only consoles I had, I wasn't allowed a home console until I managed to persuade my mother to buy me a PS2 for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was when PS Slims were about to come out.
Yeah.
PS2 Slims. And so all the old PS2s suddenly dropped down 10 or 20 pounds in price in the shops.
Yeah.
And you could get a good bundle. And I managed to persuade my mum to sort of say, oh, can we get this console and a couple of games for it? I was very much just on the Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance. I think the first game I ever bought for myself was possibly Pokemon Yellow. I think almost all the others, other Pokemon games, including the ones after that, for a good long while, were bought for me.
Yeah.
But Pokemon Yellow, I think I remember saving up some Christmas/birthday money. It was possibly augmented slightly. I remember buying it on holiday. So it was possibly augmented slightly with holiday money, but yeah. It was still my money to choose what to buy it with. So yeah, Pokemon Yellow, mm-hmm. which I certainly don't regret. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
had your little Pikachu there, complaining or being happy or having a bucket on his head if you were fishing.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, I do appreciate a good little Pikachu roaming around with me. Even now with Pokemon X, I still have Pikachu. I find it quite bad actually that I'm playing Pokemon X, and they do try with all these new Pokemon, but really I've predominantly got Pokemon from the first 150, just because they just remind me of my childhood, you know? To be fair, actually, no, I'm thinking about it, it's not the first 150, it's probably the first 300. Because I was into Silver and Gold. Actually, probably into Silver and Gold a hell of a lot more than I was into Red and Blue and Yellow.
Those games certainly were good. They were very much held up still as by fans today. Sort of, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Here is the pinnacle of the series. It was never better than this.
Yeah, and the thing was, with the Pokemon that they introduced in that series, they didn't feel like they were trying too hard.
Well, the thing is, interestingly, a lot of the Pokemon from Generation 2 were designed at the same time as Generation 1. Originally, there was going to be, I think, 200 Pokemon in Generation 1.
Yeah.
But then they decided to scale it down to 150 for whatever reason. So they had a lot of leftover designs, the vast majority of which went into Generation 2.
Yeah, well, I expect that would explain some of the pre-evolution stages.
I think a lot of the pre-evolutions and sort of new evolutions for older ones were actually the ones that were added later when they were trying to fill up the gaps.
Yeah. Oh well, you like something now, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And that's partly the reason in the in the very first episode of Pokemon that you see Ash sees at the end of the episode a Ho-Oh flying off in the distance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Ho-Oh was obviously one of the first one of the ones that was designed with the first 150.
See, I felt that they didn't make enough of the inclusion of Ho-Oh because they've made such a big thing of it in the anime in the first episode, like the legendary Pokemon that Ash sees.
Yeah.
Don't feel like they made enough of his inclusion to the series as an established Pokemon.
The thing is, Ho-Oh, they've never of all the big Pokemon episodes and movies,
they've never
featured a Ho-Oh. The only time a Ho-Oh has appeared was in any of the movies, having been a nerd who's watched them all.
Yeah.
The only time a Ho-Oh has appeared is when a Mew was pretending to be a Ho-Oh.
Oh, really?
And it used it to be a big flying bird that could fly a long way in a short time.
Okay.
So a lot of theories go that if the series ever ends, it will end with Ash catching Ho-Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least teaming up with him and having, if Ash ever has a legendary Pokemon, it will be Ho-Oh.
Yeah. I feel like it kind of should be. It kind of has to be, considering, you know.
It would be a nice touch if ever the series.
That's the one they made desirable. I don't think it's going to end anytime soon, though.
No, God, no! It's got a good 10 years left in it yet.
I'm actually a bit worried that by the time it does end, it's not really going to be as major a thing as it could have been sort of now, because you know it was so long ago that the kids that would be watching it then. They'll be watching it think, oh, this is amazing. I can't believe I've watched it from the start. And really, they've been watching it from sort of the black and white generation. You know?
That's the thing. Do you think the ongoing series will outlive us? Not necessarily the TV series, but the franchise.
I sincerely hope not.
You want, by the time you've died, you want to have played it all and literally caught them all.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be an undoable task that only future little sprogs will be able to do.
See, that actually upsets me a bit to think that Pokemon might go on longer than me. Don't say those things. It's horrible.
Don't worry. You know, the Wii U might not recover. Nintendo might go crashing to the ground. No,
I don't want that either. If we're going to talk about what I want, let's... Let's call Nintendo now, right? You need to do another home console. You need to stop focusing on family for a little bit. You know, it can still be aimed at family as well, but you need to do an open world RPG on a sort of video based console, not a home based handheld based console, sorry. And it needs to be Pokemon. Do the first 150 first, do the animation and the graphics exactly like you've done in the anime, and make Ash the playable character. Then, as downloadable content, introduce Johto. And then as the second game, which will inevitably come like 2 years later because it's going to sell out like fucking wildfire, then go crazy, do what you want, just keep the graphics the same. I'd like to see an RPG, even like, how great would it be to have an MMORPG of Pokemon?
See, that's the thing that everyone says. Everyone says, oh, why don't they do an MMORPG?
I understand what...
Max, but I think what people miss is the underlying... One of the underlying core features of the game is that it's quite a solitary game.
Yeah.
Even though they do sort of emphasize, especially with things like 3DS, having greater communication skills and all this, and, you know, street pass and all that.
Yeah.
It's still very much a case of, no, you have to go out and catch the Pokemon. You have to become the best of the land. You have to catch all 150.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think this is possibly something that they've listened to, and they're probably saving for the day that something does tank.
Possibly. Well, it'll be interesting to see. They did tease, just when X and Y were coming out, they had a teaser image of a new 3D game, which was clearly a home console.
Yeah.
Game. It was just a brief image of, I think it was a Blaziken and a Lucario facing each other across
All right.
a little battlefield in a street somewhere. And it was just a fuzzy screen that cleared to that image and then fuzzed out again.
Okay.
So it's a case they're clearly working on something. And I hope it's another RPG like the GameCube games, because they did two games on the GameCube games, which a lot of fans of the Pokemon franchise say, it's the devil's games, they're terrible, they're awful. They weren't.
What were they?
They just weren't the same. They just weren't the same format as the handheld games. They still had all the normal Pokemon, all the normal moves. It was the same battle system.
Yeah.
Except that most of the battles were double battles. If only to keep it a bit more interesting on a home console system, which is fair enough, you know, one after the other with all the animations of a home console system would get quite long.
Well, they tried that with Pokemon Stadium, and it was a bit sort of tedious by the end of a sort of a six Pokemon each battle.
Exactly. It just wears on a bit and having a double battle speeds up the process.
Okay.
But it was a full adventure. The only difference was that there weren't many ways to catch wild Pokemon. There were a couple of wild Pokemon you could catch, but mostly it was about stopping the evil team who'd kidnapped Pokemon and using a special machine to recapture these Pokemon that they've kidnapped.
Yeah, okay.
And it was really good. It was really fun. Had a solid storyline.
I don't know anything about these games. This is all new to me. I've never heard of these games.
It was Pokemon Colosseum and Pokemon.
Oh, actually, no. I knew
Gale
about
Darkness.
I knew about Colosseum. Thinking about it,
they were good.
Just never played it.
And people in the main franchises don't like them because it didn't have gyms and it didn't have a champion.
Yeah.
And it focused too much on the. On the evil team, but that was good.
Yeah.
It had much more of a concrete storyline in the handheld games, and it still had all the side stuff you could do. I mean, it had a brilliant battle facility called Mount Battle, where you could sort of go through 100 levels fighting opponents, and you'd actually gain experience. Unlike a lot of facilities they put in the end of the Pokemon games, which just test your battle skills against a million trainers.
Yeah.
And restart if you lose once.
Yeah. But, no, I think...
So I'd like to see something like that again.
Especially with the technology that's available now, it would be great to see something just a bit more from the Pokemon franchise.
Yeah.
But I think, like I said, it's possibly something that they're keeping until something really does tank. And they're like, oh, fuck, we've lost a lot of money. Time to roll out Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know, because at least then they've got a backup plan. They've always got a backup plan. Because it will sell. It doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter what it's going to be. If it's console-based Pokemon, it's going to sell.
Yeah. I will say by this time next year, almost certainly, we'll have seen more of it.
Yeah.
I guess it will be one of their main things to show off at E3 next year.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
But I would say I'm looking forward very much to the Ruby and Sapphire remakes they're bringing out this year.
I never really played Ruby and Sapphire, to be fair.
See, that's the thing, I did. And Emerald, which was the third game out of Ruby and Sapphire, which was the sort of... was possibly one of my favourite Pokemon games ever.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've been replaying it recently, and it's just so much in there, and so the story was good, and the world was so big. I mean, having played X and Y recently, it's brought home to me how small the world in X and Y is. I mean, it's just X and Y just sort of one big route that goes around the map in a circle.
Yeah.
And meets in the middle. And you know, there's not quite as much exploration as there have been in previous games.
Yeah. Just
going
yeah.
back to Emerald, it's so huge, and the route, the whole map crisscrosses itself in so many places. I mean, you could run figure eights all over the place.
Yeah.
And sort of not come back to where you'd been before in ages.
Might have to give it a play once it's out, man. It's all right. It's like I fell out of love with the Pokemon games when I hit that age where I was like, ugh, Pokemon, I don't like that. And then I hit that age where I was like, hold on, why was I like that for? I love Pokemon. It's good. It's brilliant. Like, I'm a geek. That's what I do. Like, Pokemon's like number one.
I was the one that never lost faith. So, you know, I can see other people sort of around me just sort of saying, yeah, no, I don't play that anymore.
Yeah.
And realizing, okay, gonna have to disappear under the bed sheets.
Yeah.
But under the bed sheets, I did play it.
And I do remember sort of, you know, there were a few people that continued playing it, and everyone was like, "Oh, why are you still playing Pokemon? That's for kids, isn't it?"
There's that brilliant Awkward Zombie webcomic that has three panels. I think it's an American comic, so it says grade school, and it's all these kids shouting Pokemon, yeah, and all having fun, and then and then high school is the middle picture. And it's just the main character on the Game Boy Advance and characters in the background saying, "Are you really still playing Pokemon, you nerd?" And then the third panel is college.
Yeah.
And it's all everyone shouting Pokemon again.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately I was one of those people. I was, you know, I transitioned, but I'm back for good now, so
you heartless son of a bitch.
Well, you know, if it's any consolation, I stuck with Spyro for a while until they started doing Skylanders, which, you know, you have to pay through the fucking nose for. I didn't play that game. But okay, final question on video games then.
Okay.
What is the worst video game you've ever played?
Stinkers.
There have been some real stinkers.
Okay, let me think of one I actually played a decent amount of, not just one I went, "Oh, that's bad," and put down.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. Like, there have been a fair few games that I've played a good 10 minutes max and gone, "This sucks, fuck it." And unfortunately, some of the best games I've ever played, I've done that and gone, "Oh, this sucks, fuck it," put it down, and then come back to it one day when I'm bored and gone, "Whoa, this game rules. This is so good." Like Borderlands, I did that.
Yeah.
The intro to Borderlands is so tedious and boring. And then when you get into it, you realise, fuck, I've been playing for like 5 hours, shit. And then you want to play more. I love Borderlands. Actually, why didn't I say Borderlands as my favourite game? That game rules. But I think the worst game I've ever played. It's hard because I'm thinking of different consoles as well, because certain games were really crap for other reasons other than it was just a bad game. It was bad altogether. Like, just gameplay, graphics, storytelling, interactivity, everything like that. So, I mean, me and Elliot always used to go to this one shop by us when we were in sixth form, and we used to constantly trade in different PlayStation 2 games, and I'd trade in some 360 games as well. But we'd look specifically on PS2 for two-player games. And we found some stinkers in there, like some really, really bad ones. Like, I'd say probably the worst game I've played is Looney Tunes Acme Arsenal, which we were like, okay, cool, so it's Looney Tunes but fighting, and it's... No, it just sucked. Like, the map was bad, the graphics were bad, there was no sort of, like, no introduction to what you were doing, it was just awful, and you each had like one weapon each. I know, like, it was partly because, you know, we hadn't played the story mode, but all it was, the entire story mode was just you on a map with another person fighting. And it was like, I know, like, a lot of people look for stuff like that in games, but when there's no gameplay, there's no interactivity, the graphics are shit, the map's bad, it was just shite.
I think the worst game I ever played, and unfortunately it's gonna go back, is I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games. And it was a case of, because it was Pokemon, I put myself through the torture, and by God was it torture. I mean, I don't know how I pushed myself through in retrospect. I just kept going, and I completed the game. I got all the way through. I mean, I never there's a hell of a lot of sort of post after game as well, but I got to the credits.
Yeah.
And it's just they're roguelike games. I don't know if you know, they're basically every dungeon is randomly generated. Every floor of every dungeon is randomly generated. Even when you go back and do the same dungeon again, it will have the same number of floors, but it will, every level will be different.
Okay.
But even though they're different, they're all the same. It's just rooms connected by wiggling corridors. Sometimes there's an item in the room, sometimes there's a couple of opponents. It barely makes any difference whatsoever. It's just doing the same thing again and again and again. And God knows how I did it. Apparently the addition of Pokemon made it desirable enough that I forced myself through. But good God, how I didn't wake up and smell the rancid cabbages all around me. Oh, never again. Never again will I make the mistake of going into one of those games.
I've thought of a different game that I really didn't enjoy. And it's quite a controversial one, considering how well it did and how many people bought it. And I was a real big fan of Vice City when it came out. Loved it. Brilliant game. Just loved it. San Andreas, wasn't a massive fan, but still enjoyable. And then Grand Theft Auto 4 came out. And I had it. I bought it on the day of the release. I went home and played it. And it just felt dark. Yeah. That's the best way I can describe it. It wasn't Grand Theft Auto. I don't mean literally like the tone of the game and everything like that. It felt literally looking at it. It was too dark. Yeah. I couldn't see what I was doing. And I played around with my resolution. I played around with my, you know, with everything on my TV and through the options as well. And it was just, they were trying to get that you're a small fish in a big pond kind of feel. And so it felt a bit sort of, you know. And then I started playing it. And then the story was dark and it was a bit sort of just, it took itself way too seriously, which is why when Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, I was like, man, I'm good. I'm not going to play it.
I know what you mean. I was just the same.
And then Sophie bought it for me. And I was like, oh, I'll play Grand Theft Auto 5. And it was hilarious. I loved it. It was brilliant. But there was just that hesitation. I'd given up on the series just because of that. To the point where when Vice City Stories came out, I didn't buy it. I just couldn't be bothered. Didn't care. Just wasn't what I was interested in.
I did buy both of the Grand Theft Auto X Stories games, but
yeah,
I remember selling them both fairly quickly. And I think what I liked most about Vice City is I was the same in that I played that to death, was that I had it on PC.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the cheats meant you just run around and fuck about all the time. And I think I was just the right age to do that as well.
Yeah.
I was playing. Well, now, you know, it's sort of, I'd probably put the flying cheese on for a bit, but then I probably would try and go through the missions rather than just fuck about all the time.
Yeah.
And instantly go and try and steal the tank.
Well, I mean, this is the thing.
The tank up to a high enough speed where it would fly with the flying cheese.
I had Vice City on PC, not any of the consoles or anything. So the cheats for PC are considerably easier.
Yes, they are.
Than they are on the PlayStation. So if I wanted, for example, I wanted to spawn a tank, I would just have to type Panzer.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you just press X.
And there you go. There's a fucking tank. You know, if I wanted to fly, I just had to type. I can't even know what I had to type now. I'd have to look it all up again. But you know what I mean, like.
Yeah, no, I know. They were just easy, simple passwords. You popped up.
And it was great. It was so fun. In fact, you know what? I'm probably going to download Vice City right now, just so I can learn those cheats again and have some fun. But I've actually, you know what? I've changed my mind again, but this is 100% the worst game I've ever played. I only played it for about half an hour, and it was so bad that I had to put it down and delete it straight away because it was so fucking atrocious. It offended my intelligence. It offended me as a fan of the series for so long, and it was X-Men Destiny on the Nintendo DS. Now, I've since been out and spent £7 on the Xbox version of the game because I'm under the understanding that it is a considerably different game. It's still bad, but I collect all of the Marvel games. X-Men is Marvel, and I figured, well, if I've got to pay £7 to have it in my collection, I'll have it. If I play it and I like it, good. If I play it and I hate it, well, I've got it.
I've been playing X-Men Destiny on the PS3 because it was it was marginally cheaper when I was playing it online.
Okay.
And I would say it's a good game.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I'm gonna play it. In fact, I did start to play it, thinking about it. I think I played the first level where you have to choose your faction and who you are and everything. And then your story starts from there, and there's the attack, isn't there? And you have to sort of run through, because my character hated mutants, and then all of a sudden I was a mutant.
I chose that guy too.
Yeah. So I chose that guy. I don't really know anything past that. However,
well, your faction, which side you go on, just you slowly go through as you go through the story.
Yeah. You
could get halfway and probably change your mind.
Oh, really? Okay. That is.
And switch back.
Yeah, but the Nintendo DS was an interesting. You didn't get to.
I downloaded that one and played it briefly, and then swiftly deleted that too.
You didn't get to choose who you were, and this is one of the things that I dislike about certain games. It's not a big thing, but I don't like when I have to play as I'm specifically given one character to play, that is who you are, sort of thing. I like some form of customization.
Yeah.
Like, for example, in X-Men Destiny, I was playing a black guy. I don't know whether you can tell by the way I talk, I'm not a black guy. Got nothing against them, just I'm not one. And likewise, if I was a black guy and I was forced to play a white guy, I'd be like, well, I'm playing a white guy. Why am I? What? You know.
I think that's a much larger problem for people who are black.
I know. Yeah. I understand it's a much bigger problem for them than it is for me, but it annoys me. that there's no form of customization in your character whatsoever, and there's no form of customization on your powers really either. You know, my power in X-Men Destiny on the Nintendo DS was I had the power of purple.
That's true.
That's your power. Your power is purple. There's no explanation to it. It's just you can throw purple at people, and sometimes it hurts them. Sometimes you miss. Sometimes it doesn't hurt at all.
No, X-Men Destiny, you get much more than the power of purple.
Yeah.
You get all sorts of power. It's really good. I mean, I think it's as you go through the story, you have your you choose a type of mutant power towards the beginning, but you also as you go through collect different bits of clothing.
Oh right. Okay.
And if you get the clothing of a certain X-Man, then it'll give you one of their abilities.
Oh really?
And you can level them up, and you can get things like if you get a character. I think I was searching for a long time to find all of North Star's clothing, because mm-hmm. it meant basically if you double jump, you can glide.
Oh, cool!
You can't jump up into the air and fly or anything, but you can just glide around a room.
Yeah. Okay.
And then sort of swoop down and stomp an enemy and then glide away again.
However, on the topic of X-Men Destiny, and it's the first time I'll bring this up in the podcast, but it probably won't be the last. I looked at the character list. And I was very disappointed. But there was one character that wasn't particularly included in the game.
Yes, there is one character who
she's not in it.
Is very much absent, and it's not fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Admittedly, there isn't a huge cast list for it. There's a fair few. But
she's a fairly prominent X-Man. And my favourite, and she wasn't in it. And that character is Kitty Pryde, aka Shadowcat, and I'm annoyed. I can't even find a good Lego figure of her. They're all sort of just poor.
I know.
The merchandising companies do not care about my love for that character at all.
Well, the thing with Kitty Pryde, if you want to make a Lego character of her, the thing is, as much as she is a brilliant character, and I love her too.
Don't say it. She's not generic. Don't say it. I know what you're going to say. Don't say it.
As much as I love her.
Don't.
Her looks.
Say.
Are.
It.
Fairly.
Arse. Hot.
In terms of good-looking brunette.
I could pretty much easily go to the Lego shop in Milton Keynes, find the hair, find the right face. No, because actually the face would be yellow in Milton. Find the right hair and use something you gotta
put up with. I find. I mean, I've had my own sort of a couple of little custom X-Men, but they're
I was there when you got your custom Jean Grey.
That's actually properly made custom, and that does have a flesh coloured face.
Oh right, okay.
I've got my own sort of thing. For example, I've got a little Captain Britain figure, and his face is yellow.
Okay.
Because you know.
Liver disease is it's an important topic to discuss when you're talking about Lego.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't mind it so much now because in the Lego movie, you've got yellow face and you've got normal face.
Yeah.
Characters, you know, you've got Batman who is normal face, but you've got Emmett who is yellow face.
Yeah, I've always been fairly open to combining them.
And so because of that, I don't care as much, especially when you look at, you know, all of my Marvel superheroes that I've got. I've got a couple of DC ones as well upstairs. And then there's my character that I've created, well, that we created because you were there as well. We had our, you know, we made our own little Lego men.
Yeah.
Have you still got yours? You better still have yours.
I do still have mine somewhere. Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, he's like, my one is always in the sort of dioramas that I'll build. And you know what? I can't wait until I've got some more time on my hands after I leave my job so that I can actually build. That sounds really bad. It sounds like I'm not working at all. I am working. I'm just going to have less hours. I can't wait to actually be able to build my full sort of villain's base out of my Lego that I've been trying to build, but the cat keeps playing with. Little bastard.
I'm looking forward to moving back to up north where I'll have a bit of space, but I'm trying to think where I can set up this dedicated Lego.
Yeah.
Because although I am going to be sort of setting up my own little office. I'm not sure I really want to do it in there, so maybe just do it all in the bedroom. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, see, Sophie still owes me some birthday present 2 months on, but she still owes me some, like she said, well, I'll buy you some Lego. And I was like, cool, let me find the Lego I want. And at first I was thinking I was going to get a set. I was going to get the X-Men Sentinel Attack set. But then I was thinking to myself, you know what? As much as I want the Sentinel, and I do want the Sentinel, I should really just go on eBay and buy some, like, I want to get the Dolguldor set from Lord of the Rings and just get the actual buildings because I don't need the characters.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need them. Like, eventually I'm going to want some more evil characters. I'll buy some more evil characters when I have the money to buy evil characters. But what I need right now is I need some more building. But I need some more to add to the actual construction of it all, sort of thing. I think the Dolguldor set, and I was looking at another one as well. But it was like another sort of bad guy sort of building bit, and just buying the buildings rather than the minifigures as well. Because
you can get them on eBay, and it's so much cheaper.
A £45 set of Lego, you know, when you take away the minifigures, goes for like £17 to £25 on eBay.
Yeah.
And then they'll sell the Lego figures each for £10 each. Especially when you're looking at characters like Black Widow that's going for like £30 to £50 fucking quid sometimes because It's just
Chewie comes with a Quinjet, so you can't get her anywhere else.
Character, in one set even. So that's what I'm considering.
That's not
to do with video games. We'll save any more Lego talk for the Lego podcast, which will inevitably happen at some point. Although I do feel that maybe we should keep telling people that there's a Lego one coming, and just
never do
keep them waiting.
Oh, don't listen to him. We'll do one
eventually.
Last one.
I've got too big for our
boots. I think we don't need you.
And we don't need you.
let's draw it down to a close here. I think there's a couple of little bits to tell anyone who's listening. I don't think there are any listeners yet. We do have an email address now.
We may
have a WordPress website soon, but that can wait till next episode.
I'm pretty good with WordPress, so
I have made one, but I haven't really done anything with it yet.
Yeah,
we might rejigger it.
I'm not going to lie; it's probably going to be a couple of months before it's fully set up.
Yes.
When it's set up, it's going to be the bomb.
It's going to be amazing. You're going to have your forums where you can talk about which of us is sexier. You're going to have a message board post on. You're going to have a picture board where you can send us pictures of your crotches. It's
inevitably.
It's going to be fantastic.
We could do like a crotch of the week, like best crotch shot, like every Thursday or something. Mm. That's like this week's best crotch shot comes from Alex's mom again.
Anyone wearing some furry animal pants will go right to the top of the list.
Because I'll
say I want to see someone in stripy zebra underpants.
But this is all coming soon. It's not quite there yet.
Yes, we're not quite there yet. Don't rush out and buy a pair. We'll have it all up. But we do have an email address if you'd like to send us an email, which is thetagpodcast@gmail.com.
Cool.
No spaces or anything, just thetagpodcast@gmail.com.
And for anyone thinking these guys talk about nothing, yeah, pretty much.
Kind of. This is just a slice of whatever we want to ramble about.
Yeah. But I will be working on a jingle very soon. And come up with some little sound bits for us to play with, and hopefully, it'll sound all sci-fi and cool, but not like now sci-fi, like probably like 50s sci-fi, like 50s, Plan 9 from Outer Space sci-fi.
Sounds good to me.
Best film.
Okie dokie, listeners. Yep. Well, thanks for listening, and you'll hear us again next week or whenever we decide to record another one.
Next week or whenever we decide.